This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia, the place you need to be for the next hour for information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact.
And if you want to get your ideas or to help others get theirs into action, you are in the right place for the next 60 minutes. If you need to get out of your head and get things done, then stay tuned for the next hour. Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson, the maven of implementation, and I'm honored that you've chosen to spend your most valuable resource in your life, your time, with me today. My show is about ideas, getting, clarifying, implementing, and supporting ideas. I interview people who've put ideas into action, realized their dreams, achieved their goals, and followed through with their intentions to bring you best practices you can use right away to actively create your own success. And I interview experts in a wide range of fields who are resources for you to call on to make an income and an impact with your ideas. And I have someone who is a little of both, or a lot of both, both putting her ideas into action and a resource for you to put yours into action. My guest today is Sandy McDougall. Sandy is creator, founder, and great idea implementer of the Maverick Edge. Sandy, welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia.
Sylvia, hi, how are you? And thanks for having me.
Of course. And we are on parallel journeys, different slants, different focuses, but still parallel journeys. Not only have great ideas, actually that doesn't seem to be a problem with most entrepreneurs and most people, it's doing something about them. And to start out with, just kind of, I always ask all my guests, what got you to this point? Kind of briefly, we're going to go more deeply into your story a little bit later in the show, but kind of a short version of, you had an idea to do what you're doing now. What did you do to implement it? And what was that idea?
Great question. Okay, short version of that. I'm a woman of a certain age, so I have many years behind me, and I did commit a lot of time in my life to being that person that holds the family together. And during all that time, ideas would come to me. Well, someday I'll do this or be that. And, you know, the energy actually, I call it leaks out. It leaked out into my life. So I did, it emanated out in certain ways, in small places, in modest places, in places that might not have looked like the big picture. But I always seemed to be biding my time and waiting for the whole to come out and be visible. And I suppose, looking back, that I might have done something bigger and sooner, but I didn't. When the time came, I had a lot of ideas. And actually, that turned out to be a little confusing at first, because I had to choose, I had to get choiceful. Can't do them all at once. But that was a second process that happened. You know, once I committed, okay, here's your time. You're deciding that this is your time, Sandy. Now choose. Then that was a process. Who am I really? What is my highest and best vision for how I can be my idea for who I can be, and then model it for others? And it was always, I am an idea person too, as you say, we are in parallel universes, and might have been, you know, for a long time in different ways. So when that happened and I got clear, all the doors began to open, because that's how I'm going to summarize this part of your answering your question, which is, once you get into alignment where your vision, your energy, your skills and talents, the questions that turn you on, the problems you want to solve in the world, the people you want to be with, the money you want to make, how you want your lifestyle to be, all the different questions, other parts of your life you want in the picture. When those are aligned, that's where I call, that's your PowerPoint. That's where you get in the flow. And it took me a while, but I've started moving, and that's really exciting. So that's where I am now.
Great. And, you know, as you were saying, someday I was thinking of something that I heard, or I don't think I came up with this statement. You know, someday, I haven't seen a calendar that has someday on it. So,
yes, and the worst case scenario is you wait too long.
There you go. So I stopped you right in the middle. I'm sorry. You said if you wait too long.
Well, I guess I was playing off your idea about someday.
Yep.
Because I think that's a really important point that you made. I lived off of someday for a long time, and many women do, many entrepreneurs do, those who are in corporate, those who are paying attention to family, those who are taking care of senior parents, those who haven't launched themselves in some particular way yet. Someday is always out there, but you can go the whole way through your life holding on to someday, and it's actually taking some action that gives you much better information and clarity about what the next step is. And sitting on the someday step doesn't give you anything more. Just you end up, I think, what is that, on the hamster wheel in your mind, going around and around.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let me tell listeners a little bit about about you, Sandy. So Sandy is on a mission to help women revitalize their spirits. She believes that when women reclaim their clarity, their courage, and their creativity, they build more fulfilling lives, as well as bigger positive change in the world around them than they ever imagined. Sandy's an avid speaker, published author, inspiring transformational coach, and an advocate for women who want to live more aligned with their hearts and create more meaningful legacies out of their work and their lives. And her business name is The Maverick Edge. And that is your website have the in it, or is it maverickedge.com?
Correct. So it does. So it looks like this, www.themaverickedge.com. Three words.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm going to ask that a couple more times during the program, just in case somebody comes in the middle of it. And I'd also want to say, you know, it always horrifies me sometimes when a meeting planner takes my bio and then adds to it, and I go, oh, no, that's not what I wanted you to say, but I'm going to add to kind of the formal bio to my listeners to just say that I have been in the last couple of years completely, I don't know, impressed, amazed, really, I don't know, it does my heart good to have watched you transform, basically, from having ideas and not quite knowing where you're going with them to an amazing and focused program that you have today, and that leads us to this conversation today. And so if listeners are thinking, well, I'll just tune out to this, don't, because if there's anyone I've interviewed who has embodied getting an idea and going through with it, even when they possibly doubted themselves, you have. So I'm thrilled to be having a conversation with you.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Yeah. So anyway, I titled the program. Well, yeah, she's absorbing that while I'm continuing on.
It has been quite a ride. It's been quite a ride.
Yeah.
And it's been great to have you around to inspire me, so thank you.
So I titled the show, Find Your Edge to Make Your Ideas a Reality, to kind of pull both of our themes together. So Find Your Edge. What does that mean, and how do you go from the Maverick Edge to Find Your Edge?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're kissing cousins, those themes. And the common word, of course, is edge. So when I founded the Maverick Edge, for me, a maverick I guess I could start there, the definition of maverick in my mind. You could look up the history of the word. It was actually somebody's last name. You could look it up in the dictionary. It's a word that we don't use a lot in our spoken language. It's more available to us through the media, sports teams and movies and things. But when I think of maverick energy, I think of somebody who carries that energy as someone who follows their heart no matter what. They don't have to follow the beaten path to be happy or successful. As a matter of fact, they often do not, because we are such individuals that if you were following your path to be happy and I was following my path to be happy or successful or inspired or jazzed up by what we're doing or effective in our work, we're not the same people, and the solution or the formula is very likely to be different. So, and possibly even very different, even if we were, as we are, people working in the same area, coaching mm-hmm. people into turning their ideas into reality. So, for me, the maverick edge came out of that. She who follows her heart, and that her heart includes her greatest gifts, her brilliance, her vision, your intellect, your talents, your past experience, all those things are the package of you. And that, in my mind, creates our edge. And if you use the sports analogy or other analogies, somebody's edge is their advantage, right? That's your advantage, where you're working, where everything is at the peak, your energy, your focus, your enthusiasm, as I say, your talent, skills, or experience, that kind of thing. When it's all at the peak, all of it aligned there, that's your edge. And so finding that place, finding your edge, is what the quest is, if you will. It's the journey. It's a process, and it's a continual process. And the first step of the process is deciding that you're going to make that what your life and your work is all about. That's the first step, is the commitment or the focus on keeping on your edge. And so that's what I'd like to talk about today, is that process of committing to the search. And there are many levels or dimensions to that. One is like in a day or in a moment or here in our phone call. What is the edge of this conversation we're having together? What is the highest and best that we can make out of this hour of sharing thoughts and ideas? I can maybe give you rote answers that are based on something else I did another time, or I can really be with you, Sylvia, with the questions you're asking me now and answer them stay right with you. And that's finding our edge in the call. On the very largest scale, I want to find the edge for the rest of my life. As I age, as my business grows, as my challenges shift, as my clients' needs shift, where's my edge with each of those situations? When I find those over each situation, I rise up to find my highest edge in all my work, in my entire business mission. And it does translate back to me and to the world in so many ways, in income, in impact, in energy, that when you're on your edge, you are not drained. There's actually a refueling process that happens because you get so jazzed up, because you get such positive feedback, because things are in the flow. So I chose Find Your Edge because, one, find is that commitment to learning how and committing to staying on the path of every day and every way, finding and staying on the edge, at that edge. Mm-hmm. I use the word your very purposefully, too, because your edge is not my edge, is not the next person's. It's very personalized, and it's personalized to the moment and the situation. So you, Sylvia, are the center of your universe, just as I am in mine, and the listener is in their business. So you might look out into the world for ideas and inspiration and coaching and so on and modeling, but in the end, when you take that all in, it's what works for you. So it's finding your edge. That's the most important. And then back to edge, well, that's really one of the key words. It's a small word, only four letters, but our edge is so personal that actually there's like the human side of it, a spirit side of it, an intuitive side of it. A lot of the right brain part goes with the left brain part that's linear, rational, and gets things done. And it's where those two things meet at their highest. That's one definition of edge. And sometimes when those things are very tuned, you're actually, the lens that you look at the world from or you look at your business from can shift. And what yesterday felt like a slogging or ineffective or you're blocked or you're stumped or nobody's calling you and what to do, when you shift to your edge, either using practical solutions and or your intuitive process, if you will, simplifying it, sometimes just a 1-2 degree shift in either of those and all of a sudden you're in flow again. So that's another definition of the edge. And the third one, which I'll bring out here, because these are sort of foundational concepts which makes the word edge so powerful to think about, is an edge is something sharp. Something sharp has an edge, if you will. And often we can't be at our sharpest, I'll use that word, if we're carrying everything along with us, every worry, every detail for the perfectionists out there, and I'm a recovering perfectionist, that's an aside. Every mission, every human we've ever come across, we want to stay at our edge, stay very focused, and live a lot lighter. We're more effective when we make choices, choose exactly what we're doing and who we're doing it with and for and why, and let the rest go. So we use that edge. It's often a mental edge. We just think, okay, you know, I have these 10 friends and 5 of them really lift me up and 5 drag me down. Today I'm going to say to myself, I'm going to focus more on the 5 that are uplifting and let go a little more of the 5 that drag me down. Or the clients I am aligned with versus the clients who drain me. Or, you know, the business decisions. So we use that edge to chip away at what doesn't serve us and doesn't bring us to our highest and best effectiveness and purpose and impact, and let go of the others. And that's a continuing art. So that's a lot to say about 3 little words.
Hey, but they're powerful words. And in fact, I made a little note on the word your, because what struck me as you were talking, when you were saying, you know, I'm the center of my universe and you're the center of yours and listeners are the center of their respective, I chuckled because I'm thinking, okay, I was an only, well, it was, am still, an only child, only offspring, and I always thought I was the center of my universe, but the message that I got from many people, fortunately not my parents, but the message I got from many other people, and I'm sure many listeners get from everybody, is, oh, but that's too selfish. Oh, but you can't feel, you shouldn't feel like you're the center of your universe. And I'm thinking that must beat people down over time.
You bring up such a good point. I have had clients talk to me about that, the word selfish, which is a related concept to being the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. And anything that smacks to them of selfish, they feel like they shouldn't touch, like it's bad. And many have been told, whether they're only children or not, that being selfish is a bad thing. And I use a different, I ask people to consider a different definition of selfish, and I'll ask people to consider a different definition, too, of being the center of the universe. It is actually a truth that you are the center of your own universe. And if you accept that and make decisions according to that, which is, this is your life, nobody else is living the life inside of Sylvia but Sylvia. And you owe it to yourself to follow your own desires, to grow your own awareness of who you are and what you have to offer in the world. And here's the kicker. We often think that being selfish means we don't give enough. But the more selfish we are in my new definition, the Maverick definition, the more we can effectively give.
Hmm. Hmm. Because
it's
we're
a
living
conundrum,
our lives.
But it's true.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we're giving, because you're living your life in such a way that you own, recognize, and honor the gift that you are to the world. And in that, that's the place that you can give the most highest and best and unique, most unique part of Sylvia.
Mm.
So I'm going to elaborate on that.
Absorb.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to elaborate that by using the opposite. Say there's a woman over here who says, I need to give more. And then starts every which direction where either the need seems, she becomes aware of need, or people are asking her, or like that's actually a definition of a parent, often just gives.
Right.
And people in the community give. By doing that, we often spread ourselves so thin that one, we drain ourselves. Well, we can't give our best when we're drained. And two, we give so little to so many places that we actually give at a lower level than at our highest best gifts. The best gifts that Sylvia has to give are best given to where they are, where the fit and the need fits what you have to offer the best. And that's actually a very narrow place. So becoming aware of, selfishly, if you will, of the best of Sylvia and giving it where the need is best received is probably the best gift that you have with your life, that you can make with your life.
Wow. I really wanted, I wanted listeners to hear that, because I know, again, you're working with women almost exclusively, and many of my listeners are women, I'd say probably most. And so, and I know that that's constantly a thought, even in high-powered executives' minds,
mm-hmm.
that doubt for really, really making self, the focus.
Mm-hmm. And we accept it in our culture. Now we're getting into larger pictures. But I think, if this is interesting, you think to your readers, just to say, we accept that behavior more in men than in women. And we value it more in men than in women. If I were to say
encouraged.
That, does it resonate more? Yeah, they're encouraged.
Yeah,
because it does have a certain power to it.
Yeah.
Now, if the power is not connected to heart, then it becomes dangerous or hurtful.
Right.
That's the most dangerous definition of selfish. And that's what we see often. We see it in our childhood sometimes, in family dynamics. We see it in politics. We see it in big business. And we think that's the only definition that's out there, selfish. But I'm putting my stake in the ground as part of my teachings to reteach the definition of selfish, to have people understand that actually selfish can be the most healing thing in the world. That if everyone in this...
Seems like, go ahead.
Yeah, go
everyone
ahead.
In
no,
this
go.
Planet.
If everyone in this planet brought their highest and best in a selfish... In that, my definition of selfish, out in the world, all the problems would go away, because everybody would be bringing their best out with the best of intention and the best of heart in the best way. And the flow of the economy of human spirit and human exchange would go up many levels, and there would be, the world would change. It would be a healing energy in the world, as well as a very effective energy of economic exchange.
And we are going to, I want to move this then to a little bit of the. So how do we? And I'm going to do that. I have to take a quick break. When we come back, it's the question in my head is, so how do we find our edge? What's that problem? What's that pain that we need to get past in order to find our edge? And so I'll let you germinate on that a little bit in your head, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sylvia Henderson on the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
If you're an entrepreneur or business owner who needs to sort your thoughts out and get things done, then keep listening. This message is for you. You've got to get your ideas out of your head and into action for profit and purpose. Now, Sylvia Henderson and the IdeaSuccessNetwork.com are who you need to help you be in action and turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. What are you waiting for? If you want to make more money, then end your overthinking and underdoing with Sylvia's Idea Success Notes, tips and strategies for implementing your ideas. There's a bonus thank you gift waiting for you, too. Don't waste another minute. Go to IdeaSuccessNetwork.com, enter your name and email address, and get your bi-monthly Idea Success Notes for moving your ideas into action now.
And so we're back, and my guest is still Sandy McDougall, and Sandy is founder and chief, I don't know what term I should give you. Oh, goodness, there goes my... Yes, as we have a less-than-perfect studio here. Sorry, my message machine just went on. And I don't know what label you give yourself for the Maverick Edge, but I will let you say how do people reach you and learn about you.
Well, thank you. Yes, so I do have... a website easy to get to, www.themaverickedge.com, and Maverick is M like mother, A-V-E-R-I-C-K, so themaverickedge.com, and there's actually a free gift that you can get right there on the landing page, and it is my Maverick Playbook. A free gift to you, and you can download it when you get there. And what it helps you do is juice up your creative vision for what your desires, dreams, priorities, values are in your life. And often we go day to day without really paying attention to those because we're checking off those things on our list or taking care of the day to day. But sometimes it really helps just to take time out to reflect, keep the larger vision for ourselves, and reorient. So that's why I created the Maverick Playbook, and I hope you get to enjoy it.
Right, all right. And so what I left at the break asking, maybe rephrase it a little bit differently. No, mm-hmm. To say find your edge may, I don't know if it's easy to think about or not for either one of us, because we've been immersed in our own idea work. But I'm thinking for the person who is stuck, you know, stuck in their life right now, stuck in the path that they've been following right now, and mm-hmm. we come along and say, find your edge. How in the world, mm-hmm. how do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Really good question. And it's not you don't just snap your fingers and find your edge. So I want to encourage people to breathe a little bit and just say, don't worry, it won't happen overnight, but really to decide that you truly do want to look at the question, understand where you are today, and then take a first step. Because there's nothing like action, and I know you, Sylvia, you are the action lady. Get an idea, put it into action. And you know, you were asking me before about how in the 2 years I've evolved from not from nothing, not being in this world at all, to where I am. I had an idea and I took a first step. And I faltered. I felt a bit embarrassed. I stumbled with my words or my actions. And then I would go to sleep at night and go, how did that fly today? Oh, this worked in my mind and this didn't. Okay, keep that, throw that out. You know, and then the next day I brought the piece that I liked that worked for me into the arena. And I searched for new ones. And it's a constant process of taking action, oftentimes either failing or being embarrassed or making a mistake or not feeling right about something. And then, you know, that's just as a good a learning experience as actually having it go right the first time. Because knowing the path you don't want to take, or the idea you don't stand for, or the action that didn't serve you well is important information. So in that way, we're related, Sylvia, and that is a big promoter of taking some action. So another thing, of course, is finding support, taking time out and finding support. We are, especially women, we're primed for being communicating, mirroring off each other, trying out ideas, talking things through, you know, finding a coach, finding a best friend, finding a champion, a supporter somewhere in your network who can be with you while you are exploring who you are and who you want to be, what you want to do. If this is maybe aimed at somebody in the very early stages, somebody who's really, really stuck. But sometimes really stuck happens to those of us even who are on the path, right? We can wake up one morning.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Right? So that's another thing you know, that I want to say out loud, which is stuck happens to all of us. New level, new devil. So we do get caught in the vision of, oh, we're the only ones who are stuck. We don't deserve to do anything. No, it happens to everybody, from CEOs, you know, everybody. It happens to everybody. So one of the things, though, that human nature has us deal with is wherever we are, we tend to get comfortable because it's familiar. And I have a name for that concept, the power of the ivory tower. Wherever we are, we go, oh, here we are. We figured out how this works in this stage of our business, in this mode of marketing we're using, in this way we deal with our sales call, whatever it is, oh, a little comfort. And then a new challenge comes along and the old ways don't work. So we have to let go of what's known and familiar and safe and try something else. It is a constant process. And if you can't deal with it at all, probably being an entrepreneur, you know, might not be for you. But it is a muscle that we can learn to flex, right?
Yes. Yeah. And they can be an entrepreneurs, or what they call them, intrapreneurs. They can be that way also in a company or in an organization. Although I think we're talking about busting out.
True, but what that is, and I think you made a good point, is being an innovator or a creative idea person can happen anywhere. It can happen in a corporation. It can happen in a family. It can happen in a community, in a neighborhood. It can happen anywhere.
Do the ideas in order to bust out and find our edge, do they need to be big ideas? I'm fascinated when clients come to me or potential clients come to me and they say, but I don't have a big idea. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't work with you or something. And I go, you know, it doesn't take a big idea to move forward or as you're saying, find your edge. So do you deal with folks that say, but I don't have a big idea?
Oh, boy, that is a really good question, because for a number of reasons. One is most of us discount the ideas we have. We don't think they're important. We don't think other people will think they're important. And often ideas come to us because actually they're really important for us as well as the world. Mm. And we discount them. That's a common reaction. And that's why it helps for somebody to have you in their life, Sylvia, for example, to come to and say, I have this idea, but I don't think it's big enough, good enough. And you're the one that says, well, let's just take a look.
And where I like how we kind of fit hand in glove, you have been from the beginning talking about perhaps your crazy idea, you know, is one to explore. And I almost take them from the next step after they realize their crazy idea isn't so crazy, or they should explore it. Because I'm sort of the left brain. What's the one that is the process systems? Left brain?
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
You're the very linear, rational.
Brain.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're pointing out that it is something that I was explaining in the beginning, which is this is a holistic process in that you need both sides of the brain, or you need both the rational, practical side as well as the spiritual, intuitive side. Because without... if you're just doing something by rote, I have this idea, you're like a machine. I will get this done. You know, what is the meaning in that? What is the purpose in that? Where's the joy in that? I mean, a lot of us have left corporate because we're looking for purpose, meaning, and joy,
yeah,
right? As
yeah.
well as independence and creativity. So that's a very personal thing, and it often comes exactly from sometimes that small idea, the idea we label small or inconsequential. Sometimes those ideas have actually changed the world.
Yes.
Or they've changed a whole organization, or they've changed a whole community, or they've changed a whole way a whole system has functioned. Right?
So it sounds like even though we're talking about individuals, that there's relevance to what you're saying that really connects to a broader community. It connects to world issues. Is that right?
That's my belief, and that's why I think there's no idea too small, so I'm going to underscore that. Sometimes a one-degree change has shifted everything, right? But a lot of us, I want to cycle back to something else. A lot of women feel very moved by wanting to do good in the world. And sometimes either going into business doesn't quite feel like doing good in the world, or if they go into business, they want to do everything for everyone. That's a voice in their head. And I feel that, again, to go back to choosing a niche, choosing an area based on, you know, all those parts, aligning them, that is where there's your power is. And many of us were in our work feel disempowered, and we are disempowered either by the corporation or, you know, not succeeding at what we're doing. And I do feel that there's relevance to broader good by individuals taking up and empowering themselves individually, because a world full of empowered entrepreneurs, empowered women, empowered people is a happier, healthier, more successful and prosperous world than a world full of disempowered, ineffective people. If you want to talk about it that simply, that, yes, it makes for a better world. And we do it one person at a time.
Yeah.
We do it one person at a time. You work with one client at a time, empowering themselves by bringing their idea to life. I do it one client at a time. Again, you know, you're talking about different stages. I work a lot with just getting people to believe their ideas, to trust their ideas, and that they're worthy of their ideas. And many people literally go to their grave with many unmanifested ideas in their heart. And I think that's a shame.
And a waste. And a shame to us. And
a shame to
us.
The whole world.
Because who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows whose idea, small, but powerful, who knows whose idea might change the way we live for the positive, you know, next year or next generation. So, yes.
And
I know
I tell
people
one thing here?
Yeah.
I want to add one thing here, because you were talking about the small ideas, and that's so important, I think, to talk about the small idea. But I think it's equally important to talk about the ideas that people feel are too big for them.
Say more.
Well, that's the other side. That's another thing that we tend to discount. I have this big idea, and I don't think I'm good enough for it. I don't think I have what it takes to see it through. I think it's so big that I'm worried what people will think of me if I come out with this idea. These are the kinds of voices that go on in people's heads when they have an idea that they label big. And the way I can relate to that is when I came up with, you know, starting the work that I do now through the Maverick Edge, which is now, to me, like getting up and breathing and brushing my teeth, 2 or 3 years ago felt too big. I do that? I could do all these things and stand for all this? Again, whether the idea is too small, seems too small, or seems too big, if the idea has come to you, it's come to you for a reason. That's what I want. That's what I tell my clients. It came to you. It didn't come to me or the next person. The idea came to you. Well, why? There must be some reason that idea came to you and didn't go away. We don't always know why. So whether it feels just right, too big or too small, it probably is worth exploring. And maybe you're more capable of it in the long run than you know. You won't know if you sit on the step, but you might start to know if you get going. So big or small, I call them worthy of investigation.
And so is there a process? Are there like two or three, I know you said it's not like so simple, but are there like two or three simple steps or steps to think about taking in order to find their edge? You know, how does a person go about finding their edge?
Mm-hmm. So this is not rocket science. Most of the time, it's just not rocket science. I love to watch children playing. And I've spent a lot of time around small children. And so if we all just picture ourselves back as toddlers and picture how we woke up in the morning and the great, bright, beautiful day of possibility was before us, and we, you know, went down to the playground and we played with all our heart, and then we went back to the crayons and the paper, and we just colored away with all our heart, and we pushed the edges, and we, you know, we're finding where we were, where our genius was, where our interest was, where our heart was every day. So we tend to, that kind of energy tends to be socialized out of us over time by family and teachers and financial responsibilities and all kinds of media images and stereotypes and all kinds of reasons. And we can reclaim that energy. So some of it is actually very naturally inside of us. It's just a muscle that we've been forgetting to flex. You can actually grow your creativity by practicing it, just like you practice, just like going to the gym and practicing fitness. You can actually practice creativity, and you probably have something to say about that too. So then it's an internal process, because that's the mindset part, the part that where we talk ourselves out of things. Right? That's why I say trust your crazy ideas, because often we don't trust them. Then there's the implementation part. That's the taking action. And that's what you're all about. So, you know, the process is a bit of an exploration of all of those. And all of it is based on this common foundation of truth-telling. We have to be truthful with ourselves. What do we really love? What idea do we really care about? What business do we really want to be in? What are we really willing to commit to? What really motivates us? Where can we really throw our heart and our mind to our best? And if we don't tell ourselves the truth to the answer to those questions, then somebody else is going to be telling us. And if somebody else is telling us, we're not going to be at our edge, because we're just going to be towing some other line and not our own. So it's an interesting holistic process.
And you've lived through your own process. In fact, sometimes I chuckle that we as coaches, especially when I have an issue or something that I need to get done, I sometimes chuckle at myself when I get stuck. I think, okay, Sylvia, just like, you know, you use your own process, why don't you?
So I'm going to throw the same thing to you. Yeah, I know. So this the same thing for you. You know, you help people answer those questions and do that self-discovery and do that self-acceptance and to move forward and take their crazy ideas and do something with them. So you know, how does, and that is a lot to ask you in about like 10 minutes left of the show, but it mm-hmm. basically kind of, you've lived the process. So what do you do for others to bring them through the process, and how do some of the things you've lived through, you know, relate to that?
I have lived through the process, and I learned a lot about myself in the process. And actually, even though I say that I came to this work over the last 2 years, it was really a seed that was planted in me, you know, many more years before that. And that is actually how a lot of us make decisions, big decisions in our lives. We just carry these ideas around for a long time, and like seeds planted in the ground, and then spring comes and finally the little bud pops up and you can see it, and then there it is, and you decide, what am I going to do with it? So that's a little bit what I call that crazy idea, something that has been around for a while. It might be a day, a week, a month, or a decade, but finally we do look at it. So in my personal life, I held myself back a lot with this idea of helping other people, my family, or the shoulds. In my work life, too, things that really worked for me for many years, when as the seasons of my life changed, they didn't work anymore. And there I bring you back to that concept of the power of the ivory tower. And this happens to women in corporate, too. I had all the security. I had the appreciation. Everything fit together. The only thing that didn't work is my heart, my body was giving me messages, this doesn't work for you anymore, Sandy. What are you going to do about it? And it's making that change and looking that truth in the eye that helps, you know, move us along. So, you know, we want to inspire ourselves. And one way to do that is to bring inspiring people around us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yep. So you and I met in networking communities, Sylvia, for example, and I would encourage any woman to get themselves into some circle where people who are somehow they look up to are around them. And you actually, that's a simple recipe. You spend time with those people. You watch them. You watch how they move and act. You see what they say. You ask them questions. And it can be somebody in your close network. It can be somebody in an official, you know, business networking organization. It can be a peer of any kind or somebody, you know, way out of your sphere. But you know, I mean, this is the intuitive part. You've got to sort of have your antenna up. Once you get to that transition place and you're feeling like, I have this idea or I want to follow and I have no clue how to start, that is one of the best ways to start, is to look and have inspiring, uplifting people around. And one thing I say, I don't know if this has come up in your work, Sylvia, but often when we have that idea first, it's very tender. We have to guard it. You don't just go telling everybody like the town crier, I have this crazy idea, because people will stomp on it. And not necessarily in a malicious way, but that is the effect. Sometimes it's the
it's
people
for your
love
own
you the most.
Good.
Yes,
yes, it's for your own good is frequently that answer.
Yeah. So learning to be surreptitious there and realize you don't have to tell everybody. You can be your own safe ground for your idea at first until you learn who you want to share it with and why. And it's part of learning that judgment that you need in a business. You need judgment in a business. You've got to learn to make your own decisions. In corporate, in families, in other places, people tell you what to do often. As an entrepreneur, you have to learn how to tell yourself what to do. And the very first step is, what do you do with your idea?
And so what do? When they work with you?
Okay. So if they work with me, then we have different kinds of process depending on what, you know, where a woman is in their business or in their relationship to their idea. I do have offerings where somebody can work with me for a day. So you come in with your idea and you just want a map. You want to, and that this part is a lot like your work. You want a second head to bounce ideas off of and create a map so when you walk out at the end of the day, you know where you're going. And that's for the go-getter who's self-motivated and maybe a little unclear about next steps, wants those next steps, yeah, and will take them. Then there's a slightly longer process where a person says, you know, I really need perspective. I need to ask some bigger questions. This is where I am in my life. This is the idea that's come to me. I don't understand how it all can fit together or how it can evolve or what I can do to move on the one when the other's there. And so I'll do that over, say, a 90-day period where we come back and examine. It's almost like a little detective work. We examine the questions from all angles. Sometimes a person wants a longer, I call it my walkabout, for 6 months. Just takes a very gentle journey. This one isn't rushed at all. But if you've never moved far or fast before, sometimes it's really nice to just take that gentle journey with somebody at your shoulder where you can examine the same questions and live into them, right? You talk about something one time and then you don't talk again for 2 weeks, but you carry that idea with you and you see you can implement it or try it on for size for 2 weeks and then come back and check in again. So I have these different processes depending on how big the change is or how fast you want to move or how much, you know, either hand-holding or support there is. And as you mentioned in the very beginning, I also need to walk my own walk, not only because that's my challenge to myself and my joy, but as an entrepreneur who stands for trusting my crazy ideas and not following the beaten path, I realized I have the challenge and the great honor that looks maybe a little different from another business where I can get off the beaten path. So as you heard last year, I went out 5 weeks in my car and ran my business out of my car as I drove from the Washington, D.C. area up to Canada and back, 3,000 miles plus, networking, going to events, meeting with people. I brought a mind-expanding tool with me that's a little bit like the Maverick Playbook, but one I could just do on the spot with people. And I invented all the different pieces as I went. And, I think in the end, I did notice people were taking note of, like, what is she doing? She did that? And I'm not espousing that anybody or everybody go on road trips. That's not it. But whatever it is for you that might be both effective and, have people take note of you and also serve some important need in your life, those ideas, I believe, ought to be paid attention to. So I try myself in the seasons of my business to search for those things that are meaningful to me, and just in living them, I assume that people will hopefully be inspired and to do their own version, whatever that is.
I tell you, you inspired me as a motorcycle rider. As I was following your trip up to Canada and back, I was thinking, oh man, road trip.
Oh yes, I can see you, Sylvia. We still have to talk about that one because and before we ever part ways, before we have to see you do that. No more dreaming. You get to act on it.
True. And something. Oh my gosh. I guess we should do an addendum to this interview that people then can link to and listen to later, because I've got some other questions for you, and we're almost out of time on this program, but mm-hmm. I think it would be so easy to continue the conversation, because one of the biggest questions that I have, and don't have time for you to answer right now, so we'll have to leave people hanging and then do another interview and have them link to that later, is the very thing that does stop even me sometimes. It's the family obligations. We have, you know, how do you get past that? The people who depend on you. And how do we pursue our crazy idea when we really do, when reality is there and we do need to meet obligations? So, you know, maybe I'll hold that one. I'll hold that question because I want you to tell people how to reach you and whether there's anything, any goody that they can get to stay connected with you and maybe then pursue that question.
Great. Thank you. So I'll repeat my, this is Sandy McDougall, and I am the founder of The Maverick Edge, and you can find me and read more about the work I do at www.themaverickedge.com. And I'd be delighted if you went there and on the landing page downloaded my free gift to you, which is something that you can do. It's a process called the Maverick Playbook, and it's full of juicy, creative questions that are designed to get you to maybe find out some things about yourself that you didn't know. How about that? 7 pages that can help you find things about yourself that you may never have known. So make yourself a nice cup of tea and put on some nice music and sit in a comfy chair with the Maverick Playbook and have a whole lot of fun. So please, I would love to give you that gift.
Great. And in the closing moments of the show, is there one last thought you want to leave listeners with?
Okay, one last thought. I'm going to morph it into two. One is when you follow your truth in your business, it feels risky, like you're putting yourself out there, but actually other people not only will notice, not only will honor you, not only will you inspire them, but it will really help your business. And it will really help your level of loving your life because what you will be doing will be completely aligned with you at all levels. And actually, some of you, and I'm not so young anymore, I actually feel younger. I'm working harder than I ever have, and I feel younger and more full of life than I have in many, many years. How about that? You know, that's kind of a hard-to-beat recipe. So pay attention to what's true for you and let it shine through because fitting in is not the recipe for success. Standing out is.
Okay. And was that 2 points or just one?
I merged them, I guess.
Okay.
I was sneaky.
Cool. And as you're saying that, I think about how because I'm still connected with some of my corporate colleagues. Because probably the one thing I did miss were some of the relationships that I built over the years. And you know, and listeners may or may not know, I came from a corporate 50 company, technology company. So you know, there was a whole lot of conforming in that company, and we won't even mention the name, but it's a very conforming company. And one of the things that some of my corporate friends who see me now say is, you look so vibrant. You look so, they don't say younger, because I'm of a certain age too, but you look so vibrant is probably the word. And it's like, yeah, that's because I'm doing what I love doing. So I definitely identify with your last message.
Well, great. I love that story, too. And I feel it when I'm with you,
Alrighty.
Sylvia. You're a great spark and a great light, so thanks for being there.
Oh, goodness. Thank you. And with that, we need to close. And so thanks so much for being on my show. And I look forward to continuing our conversation, because I think I had a great idea just now.
Thanks, Sylvia.
All right. And so, for listeners, you have been listening to Sandy McDougall, and we've been talking about finding your edge, because finding your edge helps you see countless opportunities that were invisible before to you, and it inspires you to act on them with confidence and enthusiasm. I end the program. That wraps up another hour of Ideas Success with Sylvia, with information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Join me next week, same dot time, same dot channel, same dot number, for another episode of Ideas Success with Sylvia.